Good afternoon. This is your Captain Joe up in a captain's chair, but not in the captain's chair in the Gene Boss studio. And why I am where I am and broadcasting the way that I am by telephone, thanks to the engineering of my dear friend and colleague, Captain O'Brien, will be made clear when we get to the binnacle list section of today's broadcast. It is indeed one bell of the afternoon watch here at the magical Isle of Vashon, and that is in the Pacific time zone. And my greetings today go out to two groups of people. The first group are my new listeners, and I know that I have mentioned this before, but in the last week, I have acquired several more new listeners, and for that, I am always very grateful and very appreciative, because the range of interests of all of my new listeners never ceases to be a source of great joy to your captain. So my greetings go out, first of all, to those new listeners. It is my hope, my wish, and certainly my command to myself that you will enjoy the time that you spend with us this half hour every week, because it is my mission to make sure that all of us at the end of that half hour feel just a little bit better about ourselves and about the world in which we live. The second group of people are Captain Joe's people who are members of the Coast Guard Channel. I only belong to two groups of that sort of thing. I make that confession here, to LinkedIn. And the reason for that is there are many who all over the world who belong to LinkedIn but do not occupy a place in any of the other lists that I keep up or to which I subscribe. So that's the first one. I do belong to LinkedIn, and I am frequently flooded with communications from LinkedIn asking me to become a premium member. And since I've not figured out exactly what benefits would come to me, and what benefits would come to me from being a premium.
And good afternoon for you folks who are tuning in to hear Captain Joe from the captain's chair. We've had a technical difficulty here at KVSH this morning, and unfortunately, we only got about half of Captain Joe's show. So we're going to be joining his broadcast at about the 15-minute level, and we just ask that you please let us know that you got it, and hopefully Captain Joe will be back again next week.
That have been photographing them, shows them in several different kinds of formations. So they have been practicing formation steaming, which is a military activity, and they have been practicing, I am certain, their weapons, if only going all the way to general's quarters, battle stations, and probably with ammunition all the way up to the top hoist, which means that that's as close as you can get to actually putting them into the breeches of the guns without actually doing it. So those are my guesses. Whatever U.S. Coast Guard vessel presence is up there, this would be a great time to send up a signal which would say something like, all captains repair unto me, and they sit down in the captain's cabin of the Coast Guard cutter and have a little talk about not pressing up against each other or pressing up against the boundary lines. I will, of course, keep all of this in my heart and will report on it should there be any other should there be any further and more threatening activity. Hurricane Milton, what a huge weather system that one is. In my notes today, I picked up that she has been showing wind speeds up to 180 miles per hour, which would be about 165 knots. And what is particularly interesting and what causes all of these winds is that the low pressure in the middle of the eye is all the way down to 26.49 inches of mercury. Why do we measure this in inches of mercury? That's because the original barometers were columns of mercury. And a column of mercury that is supported by a normal weather pattern would be around 30 inches of mercury that can be supported by the pressure of the atmosphere inside in a relatively normal situation, around 30 inches. This is 26.49 inches, which tells us that there is a huge low pressure area in the eye of this storm, and that is sucking in the air, and that is what's building up these huge wind velocities. My heart, my hand, my concern goes out to all of Captain Joe's people who are in particular in the west coast of the Florida Peninsula. I have a number of Captain Joe's people who live there, and I have had a report that at least one of them, one of my XOs, has gone to the Commonwealth of Virginia. His house has been boarded up, and hopefully his house in the Tampa area is going to come through all right. What also is going to happen in situations like this is that there's going to be a huge storm surge or wave, which means that relatively low-lying Florida, there are going to be lots of places which are going to be flooded. So the statisticians who keep up with all of these storms, Milton is in the top 10 of any for which we have records. The damage when it hits the Florida coastline is almost certainly going to be significant. And I am hopeful, and it is my hope and my wish, my desire, and certainly my command that everybody, either if you have not been able to evacuate, that you are battened down someplace safe, but that you were able to evacuate and be safe and warm and dry, and then go back and do whatever is necessary to clean up after Storm Milton. Some of the ships in Mayport, Florida have sortied for storm avoidance. That was always my preference, to get as much sea room as I could and not be trapped inside a harbor when storms like this happen. I sortied out of Subic during Vietnam into what I believe was Typhoon Mary. And if you have enough sea room and you are experienced in your ship handling and you have a well-found ship, all of those conditions did apply. Then I was acting at that time. My captain was in the hospital, and I took him to sea, and glad am I that I did. The book this week is called The Riddle of the Compass. The subtitle is The Invention That Changed the World. There are a number of inventions that changed the world. The author is Amir, A-M-I-R, D D, Delta, and then Axel, A-C-Z-E-L, Axel. And he has written this relatively small but very interesting book. And he is claiming that this is the invention that changed the world so much that it surpasses any other invention. And in that, I am not convinced. Because I can think of a lot of other things that had also a major significance. He does indeed also mention the wheel, but I would add to that that we consider the nuclear age in which we now find ourselves, and then going back before that, the figuring out how to determine and compute longitude using the Harrison chronometers. And I could go on with a number of others. In any case, that's what Amir's position is, that this is the invention that changed the world, the riddle of the compass. It is a very interesting little book. And in terms of the information in it, I recommend it and hope that those of you who are looking for a little bit of both philosophy and technical information will read The Riddle of the Compass. Oh, the other one, one of the others that occurs to me right now is the Fresnel Lens, and a book written by my friend and whose name escaped me right at this point. Such a good friend. Her name escaped me. I will think of it after I sign off. The we've talked before about techniques, seamanship techniques to protect, in particular, blue whales. And it is turning out to be a particularly successful way of going at it, reducing speed in areas where the blue whales are known to inhabit. And so there are some measurable successes that have come out of this. And I will keep following that one in particular as well. In Washington State Ferry, one of my bait noirs, you all know that. A few days ago, on the 1st of October, the ferry fares increased. I wrote a comment in a questionnaire that I was sent. I am a FROG, a Ferry Riders Operational Group. I think that's what that stands for. And as a FROG, I get to fill out all of these surveys. One just came to me, and I filled it out and sent it in. And my last comment was that it was the height of governmental arrogance to continually raise the fares and to continually provide really poor service. And it is certainly not improving under the new leadership. They continue to not have enough people. They continue to have to cancel sailings because they don't have enough Coast Guard certified people, the crew people who guide you onto your place in the ferry are actually either ordinary or able-bodied seamen in the Coast Guard. And there are not enough of them, and the recruiting efforts have not been particularly successful. And so there are a number of reasons why they are doing so poorly, but they continue to raise the fares. They've just done so on the 1st of October, and they got a rocket from me about that. In the meantime, they have sold a couple of the larger ferries, and in my notes here, I say, why did they sell those ships? These are not particularly complicated ships, and I'm wondering why, when they don't have enough hulls, they are selling off a couple of the larger ones. That one bears a little bit more investigation. In other ferry news, however, the federal government, as part of the infrastructure bill, is dispensing about $300 million to the ferry systems in Maine, Alaska, and California. Notice the ferry system that is missing from that list. It is ours. And some of the money is to go for electric ferries. And there's been some research work and development work done here in Seattle about creating electric ferries that would be recharged while the vessel is in a ferry slip. However, I would hope that because that power has to come from somewhere, it has to come from a power plant. Is that power plant fueled by coal? Is it fueled by the water behind the dams on the beautiful Columbia River where I was this last weekend? It has to come from somewhere. And I would always hope that they have some get-home auxiliary power that can at least paddle them home when the electric system fails. The I have received in the last week mailings from the Steamship Historical Society of America. Those of you who are interested in maritime history, I recommend that you go onto their website and decide whether or not you'd like to be a member. I've been a member, I think, for 50 years, maybe. And the young ladies who are on the staff, they are self-confessed non-maritime-related people. But they are becoming maritime-related people because each note that I exchange with them, I give them some new vocabulary words. We have now come once again to the end of our time together. I close this with a sign and remark of my consummate optimism that for now all of us who are on the binnacle list, if we follow the instructions of our medical provider, we are going to come out of this on the other side into the sunshine of now an autumn morning. On this, do all of you have my hand? And on all of this, this is your Captain Joe. As always, I am on station and watching properly. I'm going to continue to be on station and watching properly for a long time. I may be just a little bit altered. I may be a little bit battered. But I will still be up in the captain's chair for you and for all of Captain Joe's people. Watch each other's six during the week. We will meet again someplace, wherever I happen to be. We will meet again in 1 week's time. We never say goodbye. We say until we meet again. With many thanks to Captain O'Brien for engineering for me yet again today.